The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Later in the program, we will discuss, at least briefly, the attack on an Iranian general, one of the top generals in the Iranian army, in Baghdad at the airport. And that's one of the first things you should ask yourself. What was an Iranian general doing in Baghdad, Iraq? A lot of controversy. Obviously, the left is condemning Trump for taking the action. Most conservatives, not all, but most conservatives, most Republicans, are praising him for the decision. We'll try to unpack it a little later in the program. But suffice it to say, this is major. This is not some minor military operation that's going to be forgotten in the next 24 hours. This is major. And I am not an alarmist in any way, shape, or form. But again, I'll elaborate on it a little later. But the decision of taking out this major Iranian general was a major, major, major decision by the Trump administration, and something that could impact the Middle East dramatically. And again, as divided as we are, the left is going to condemn this. The right is going to praise it. And I think probably the truth is somewhere in the middle. Anyway, we'll deal with that just a little bit later in the program. I want to start with some really good news. I first read this story yesterday, and I thought, really? Seriously? And it's true. Here's the headline. More than 200 Republican lawmakers tell the Supreme Court of the United States Roe versus Wade should be reconsidered and, if appropriate, overruled. Now, folks, love Trump, hate Trump. If you are pro-life, if you care about the unborn, this should be incredibly encouraging news for you. And it is something that would be absolutely unthinkable without the support of the Trump administration. Anyway, here's the story. A block of more than 200 Republican lawmakers yesterday asked the U.S. Supreme Court to reconsider two of the court's landmark abortion rights cases, calling the current precedents unworkable and encouraging the justices to reconsider the right to abortion found in the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. It was an amicus brief submitted by 39 senators and 168 members of the House of Representatives, and it included two Democrats. Now, if you were to go back 2 to 3 years, an amicus brief by over 200 lawmakers given to the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade, you would have been laughed out of the room. Unthinkable. Well, what this is about is a Louisiana law requiring abortion clinic doctors to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. Several states around the country have similar laws. The Louisiana law is probably the most restrictive. We have a similar law here in Ohio. Again, the Louisiana law is the most restrictive. The Supreme Court has agreed to take up this law in its next session. And in relation to that, over 200 lawmakers have signed on to an amicus brief encouraging the Supreme Court to reconsider Roe versus Wade. Like I said, this would have been unthinkable just a few years ago. As part of the amicus brief, they are pleading with the Supreme Court not to follow stare decisis. Stare decisis is a fancy legal term from the Latin, which means that you must follow past legal precedent. So in other words, you would never overturn Roe v. Wade because that has already been decided by the Supreme Court. But the amicus brief says, and I'm quoting, stare decisis is not an inexorable command, much less a constitutional principle. Instead, it is a prudential and pragmatic judgment. The court has exercised that judgment to overrule precedent in over 230 cases throughout its history. 46 years after Roe was decided, it remains a radically unsettled precedent. Two of the seven justices who originally joined the majority subsequently repudiated it in whole or in part, and virtually every abortion decision since has been closely divided. Furthermore, Roe's jurisprudence has been haphazard from the beginning. Roe did not actually hold that abortion was a fundamental constitutional right, but only implied it. This ambiguity was compounded by the court's concluding summary of the Roe holding, which nowhere mentioned abortion as a fundamental right, strict scrutiny analysis, or the needs to narrowly tailor regulations. Instead, the court only required that regulations be reasonably related to the state's interest and tailored to the recognizable state interests. The cases decided since did not consistently treat abortion as a fundamental right and did not consistently apply strict scrutiny. And of course, if you follow this through the years, Roe v. Wade was not about, well, it was about abortion, but it doesn't mention abortion. It was a right to privacy. So what this amicus brief is saying is Roe v. Wade never said anything about abortion being a constitutional right. It was implied because of the right of privacy and so forth. So the Supreme Court has agreed to hear oral arguments in the Louisiana case during the upcoming term, and this amicus brief could very well impact some of the swing justices. Most reasonable people didn't think there was any possibility whatsoever that Roe v. Wade would ever be overturned. I don't think everybody is saying that. In fact, no, I don't think most people are saying that now. With the makeup of the court right now, and folks, listen to me, all right? You want to know what this impeachment thing is all about? It has nothing to do with Ukraine. Most of you are not fooled by that. This whole impeachment thing from the liberal left has absolutely nothing to do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Trump abusing his power. It has everything to do with the Supreme Court. It's all about the Supreme Court. Because the liberal left knows that if Trump is not impeached the way things look now, he's a shoo-in to be reelected. And if he is reelected for another four-year term, it is almost positive that during his next four-year term, he will appoint at least one, probably two, Supreme Court justices. And the left knows what that would mean for generations. This whole impeachment thing is just a smokescreen. It's all about the courts. And that's why this next election is so important. Anyway, more than 200 GOP lawmakers and also two Democrats. Amicus brief pleading with the Supreme Court to reevaluate and possibly overturn Roe versus Wade. Wouldn't that be a wonderful day? We can pray to that extent. All right, quick break. You're listening to Bob Burney Live, and we will return soon. No, we will. We'll be right back.
Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I often wonder what my grandparents would think if they could read some of the news headlines today. Have you ever thought about, well, maybe for many of you, maybe most of you, your grandparents are still living. But mine have been gone for quite some time. And I often wonder how they would respond to the headlines like this one. Wisconsin is considering new legislation that would prohibit boys from competing as girls. Say what? Yeah, well, a few years ago, this would have been absolutely ridiculous. What do you mean we need to pass legislation that says that boys pretending to be girls can't compete against girls in sports? I mean, a few years ago, when common sense was alive and well, anyone left, right, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican a few years ago, any reasonable person would say, well, duh, boys are anatomically superior in some ways, physically. Now, folks, that's a fact of life. Doesn't mean they're more important, but boys are stronger than girls. Physically, anatomically, their muscular system is different. Boys and girls are different. That's common sense. But, of course, common sense, well, common sense is gone. But a Republican representative by the name of Brad Klippert is introducing House Bill 2201 in Wisconsin so that, quote, naturally born male students self-identifying as girls will no longer be able to compete with and against female students in athletic activities. The bill, which has been pre-filed for introduction in the 2020 regular session, states that certain sports, such as golf, tennis, track, and field, in which girls compete against each other individually, must be reserved exclusively for genetically female students. The Republican representative said, quote, "It's been brought to my attention on multiple occasions by constituents that athletes whose first gender was male are competing against females and dominating sports." And, of course, we know that is true, and it's happening not just in Wisconsin. It's happening all across the country. So, God bless a few people with common sense. This is going to be introduced in Wisconsin. This would be fascinating because, as you know, Wisconsin is far left politically, for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see how this fares in the legislature. And if it does well, I can see this being proposed in legislatures all across America, including Ohio, to protect girls. This would be a great piece of legislation to protect girls in athletic events. Now, here's what I guess I didn't expect, because public opinion has skewed so far to the left in the last few years. But the Washington Times did a report on this, and listen to this, and I'm quoting. A Rasmussen report poll released this past November found that 51% of U.S. adults opposed allowing athletes to compete on the basis of their gender identity. In other words, a boy saying, I feel pretty, I'm going to go compete against the girls. 51% across the board of Americans opposed it. And only 29% supported it. 20% said, I don't know. 20% were confused and didn't know how to respond. But 51% of Americans across the board said, no, that's not right. And only 29% supported it. A similar poll in June had 54% opposing it and 28% backing it. So public opinion has swayed in the direction of allowing boys to compete against girls. But still, a solid majority of Americans say, no. That's not right. And there's the attempt in Wisconsin to make it law. All right, we're coming up on our break. When we come back, just some brief comments on the death of Qassem Soleimani, one of the top generals of Iran forces, and clearly a terrorist. Clearly a terrorist. Again, very, very significant action by the Trump administration. We'll talk about it when we return.